Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth. This is Brother Fawn Miller. We're delighted you've taken the time to tune our way, to listen the Word of God, and we trust it'll be a blessing to you. We're talking about the Holy Spirit's working. It's sort of building on things that we have been talking about over the last several weeks, and we trust that you will maybe have a paper and a pencil, if you can possibly do that, and hear the Word of God, and may something in here be of encouragement to you, blessing to you, or teaching to you that will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. If you're not saved, you might come to know Him whom to know right is life eternal. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, and then a quality song, and then we will get into the Word of God, and we'll be over in the book of Acts, chapter 4, just as a launching pad. Many other things that we want to share with you. Father, when we come before Thee, we realize that Thou art the omnipotent God. Thou art the omniscient God, knowing everything and powerful to do everything. There are needs within the hearts and lives of each one of us that may never show on the surface, but boy, deep inside, there they are. I pray that You'd root out the problems, You'd root out the situations, and You'd bring us each one to a place of full repentance unto Thee, full dedication unto Thee. And Lord, we just pray that You would move in a marvelous way. We need to see revival. We need to see Your Spirit take control of people's lives. And so, Lord, I commit this program to Thee, and ask You to guide and direct in every aspect of it, and we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Atonement Day, a shepherd cries, another spotless lamb must die. Oh, how could just one sacrifice our God Jehovah satisfy? Year after year the blood would flow, but none could wash me white as snow. Salvation's day fulfilled the plan, the promise came.
Holy Lamb, wash my sin away. One sacrifice paid the price I could not pay. One holy Lamb, one great I am, one seed of Abraham. One holy Lamb, washed my sin away.
Atonement Day, the Father cries, the spotless Son of God must die. One final death for every man.
One blood, one life, one holy Lamb. One holy Lamb, wash my sin away. One sacrifice paid the price I could not pay. One holy Lamb, one great I am, one seed of Abraham.
Amen. One holy lamb washed my sins away. You know, beloved, just reading this morning, this is just kind of a digression, I guess. I was just reading this morning over there in the Old Testament and how that God specifically stated to Moses that you tell the children of Israel they're to offer a lamb, and he gave them the specifics of it. But it was one lamb that would be slain there on that altar to cover their sins. You know, it was God saying, this is a picture of my son, that John the Baptist would say over there in the Gospel of John chapter 1, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so God's Lamb, Jesus Christ, came and took our sins away. Now, over to the book of Acts in chapter 4. If you understand the situation, chapter 3, Peter and John go up to the temple at the hour of prayer. There was a lame man there who had been sitting and asking for alms. By the way, I've seen people do that over in Poland in particular. I was there in Warsaw on what they call Holy Week. And, of course, that's the week between Palm Sunday and Easter. And here were beggars sitting right in the steps going into the cathedral. And, of course, that was a wise thing to do because people are, quote-unquote, spiritual. So they throw coins in there or dollars or whatever it was that they were giving, you know. And so they would be able to have their needs met. These were crippled people. They couldn't go out and get a job and so forth. But it was just kind of that situation. And Peter and John raised him up. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. The guy rose up and leaped and jumped and ran through the temple, saying, you know, that the Lord had healed him. Well, Peter and John got in trouble for that, messed up the status quo. And so they come back after they're brought before the Sanhedrin, after they're chided, after they're beaten, they come back to their own company. And you read that in verses 23 and following, but I'm just going to go to verse 29. And as they're praying to the Lord, here's what they say. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, the reason I've chosen this, it is showing you individuals who were no different than you and I. They were, yes, apostles. We are not. They were the first century believers, but we are the 21st century believers. And so the same thing couldn't happen to us, that we would pray and God would grant to us boldness so we might go forth and tell the word of God to others. That is exactly what the working of the Holy Spirit did. They prayed to God. God sent the power of the Spirit of God, sent the blessed Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spake the word of God with boldness. Now, over the last several weeks, we had talked to you about John 15. John 15 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, and it talks about the kind of fruit that we need to bear. At least 8 different fruit in that chapter. And actually, they're fruits. They're multiple. They're in they're a number of them. Now, it is not Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. There, the fruit of the Spirit is one fruit manifested 9 ways. But in John 15, it is significantly presented that there are at least 8 different kinds of fruit that need to be born in our lives. And so we could ask the question, well, how in the world can I really, in this world, how can I manifest those things, abiding in Christ, Christ abiding in me, active prayer life, and so on and so forth? You go ahead and read that chapter and note those things as we've tried to show them over the last number of weeks. And we'll not go back there. But you have chapter 15 where I am to bear the kind of fruit that would please the Lord. So at least eight different fruit or fruits there that I can manifest. And I don't conjure them up. There are things that happen because the Spirit of God is in me, and we'll talk about that. Secondly, we can go to the book of Colossians in chapter 3. And there is one of the greatest chapters that talks about you and I living a separated life, a life that is lived unto the Lord, how we're to put off the old man and his deeds, how we're to put on the new man. It's not hypocrisy, but what it's saying is you and I got to get active in this matter of submitting ourselves and surrendering ourselves to the Lord. Now, God gives us a grace, and we're going to talk about that. Not that chapter, but I'm just sharing that chapter. That's one you can look at and say, how in the world can I get rid of some of this stuff in my life that isn't any good? You know, lay aside all those weights, as Hebrews puts it, and the sin that so easily besets us. That is exactly what Colossians chapter 3. Now, there's other references. I'm giving you chapters. You know, you might even ask this question, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. How can I, as an individual, manifest this kind of love that God presents to us? Because throughout the Bible, there is to be a lifestyle of love toward other people, toward the Lord. And we'd ask the question, some of these things aren't natural. Some of these things aren't the thing that I normally would do. Well, that's true. So we wonder, how do we show and manifest this love? Well, there's another one. Let me give you a fourth one. And by the way, we could pull a lot of things out of the scriptures like this and lay before you asking, how can we accomplish this? But that fourth thing, I think, is extremely important, and that's Ephesians in chapter 5. Here's a chapter that is describing how we have the Spirit of God in us, and we're going to be using some of those verses, 5:18 and so forth. But he goes on and talks about the home life, actually stretches into chapter 6, about verse 3-4 in that area. But how we have a spiritual home. He's dealing with believers there in Ephesus, and he is saying this is what the home ought to look like. And actually, he gives a whole rendering of the love relationship of a husband and a wife. It is the relationship that is coming from the Lord. It's not conjured up by man. It's not done by man's counseling. You know, there are so many things in here that he talks about. Submissive love, spiritual love, supernatural love, sacrificing love. And my, we could just go to so many different aspects of love that are given here for the child of God in particular, but the kind of love that ought to be in our homes. Now, I ask this question. I've just given you four chapters, and I could do that and multiply that. But those four are four areas of our lives that we might really, you know, understand. You don't have to be a PhD to grab a hold of this thing. You don't even have to be educated academically to get a hold of this thing. How can I bear the various fruits that God wants to see in my life, John 15? And like I said, Galatians 5:22 and 23, give us the single fruit, the fruit of the Spirit manifested nine ways. And then number two, how do I keep my life clean? How do I get rid of this excess garbage of the old life and the old way, the things that plague my mind and my heart? How do I get rid of them as a child of God? That's Colossians in chapter 3. How do I develop my home so that it might manifest this love that God shows to us? Because, by the way, that's the picture of what the home should be. How God loves the church. And then number four, how can I manifest these aspects of love found in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3? Well, my friend, out of these four chapters, and we're not going to go to them. You might think that's kind of strange, but I got another direction I'm heading. But I'm keeping those in the forefront of your mind. I hope you'll write them down and then go back and start reading them. Now, what we have to do is look at something very simply. And that is, how did you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you do know Him as your personal Savior? We need to settle that matter. Are you genuinely saved? I didn't say, are you a member of my church? I didn't ask you if you're a member of any church. I asked you a question. How did you get saved? Well, I'll tell you what, preacher. I went out here and I've done kind things to people and Well, let's look at two verses of scripture, maybe three. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." So first of all, if you got saved, you got saved by grace. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. God looks down, you deserve hell, so did I. And He looks down and says, "I'm willing to forgive you of your sin." That's grace. "For by grace are you saved through faith." Now note this, "that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." So it's by God's grace, God's gift. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You and I could not have come to Christ by doing enough of works. You see, the work was already finished there on Calvary. All our righteousness, Isaiah said, is as filthy rags in the sight of God. You and I could not do one thing that would please God in order to get saved. And so we got saved by grace through faith. Now, we're going to pick up on this. We'll listen to a song here very quickly, and then we're going to pick up on this matter of how did you get saved? What did you do to get saved?
Again today. as I should enough if I try to make it by myself. I say, Lord, I need you again today. Lord, I need you again.
What a great song, a great testimony. Lord, I need you again today. We need the Lord. Now, as I ask that question, what or how in the world can we accomplish those things in just those simple four chapters? How can I be the kind of person God wants me to be in those circumstances? And it cannot happen apart from the Holy Spirit of God. I'd like to take you again to look at these things. I asked you the question before we went to the song, how did you get saved? By what means? Because that's going to give you the answer as to how you can live in the particularly these four chapters, although we would say in every area of our lives. Look with me, if you will, at John chapter 6 for a moment. We referred to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and we'll look at John chapter 6 and see something that the Lord made mention. He says, in the context of the feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus says in verse 26, he answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man, now note this, shall give unto you, for him hath God sealed. Now, he is saying, don't labor for the meat that perish. Don't build your life on those things. Understand that this eternal life comes from God, but it only comes through his Son, Jesus Christ. When you'd go over to John chapter 14, and you look at verse 6 as he's talking about the mansions he's prepared in heaven, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you go over to the book of Acts and chapter 4 and verse 12, you'll find that neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. So you got saved through Jesus Christ, but not because of you. Not because of the attendance that you had at church. Not because of your kindness to your neighbor or to people who are in much harder circumstances. You see, the Bible says in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 that our salvation is not of works. He says, in fact, turn back there. Let me just show that to you. Titus, he said, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Look at verse 5 of chapter 3. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, he saved us by forgiving us of our sin. It wasn't our works. Our works, as Ephesians 2:9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we can go over to chapter 2 of 2 Peter. Now, I'm only giving you a couple of verses. I could give you lots and lots of verses about this. But in chapter 2, we read this, chapter 1. That's why I'm sorry. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant of an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice this, that ye have obtained. That literally means you've gotten it from another. A good verse of scripture that you can use in relation to this word obtain would be over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. You can note that, 18 through 25, chapter 1 of 1 Peter. So, what we see then is that our salvation came by grace through faith. And my friend, the way you can have salvation today, right now, wherever you're at, you might be at work, in a car, at home, or you might be just on a walk, whatever the case might be, wherever you're at, you can right now pause and just ask the Lord, Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know I'm a sinner. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you will forgive me of my sin if I will ask you, and I'm asking you right now. Forgive me of my sin. No, you may not understand all this working and all how God does. I don't either. All I know is he does it. When you seriously come to him and ask him to forgive you of your sin, he does it just like that. So would you do that today? Would you say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I would desire above all else that you'd forgive me of my sin. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. That's John. That's Gospel of John chapter 6 and verse 37. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? We're going to follow up on how we can live in those four chapters that I mentioned to you that would please the Lord. But we wanted to share this fact of salvation with you. I trust you know him as your Savior. If not, please contact us and we'll help you as much as we possibly can. You can contact us at WOT@WOTBM.org. And we'll get back to you as quickly as possible. You'll not be on a mailing list, but we will give you the information that you request and help you. Father, take the word of God, speak to hearts. May somebody be saved this day. Some Christian find the joy and rejoicing in their hearts of thee. In Jesus' name, amen.